Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
I'm pretty sure I saw Mike Tomlin smile on Sunday, though his quarterback situation a little dicey up until game time. But Steelers get a victory in Atlanta. Pretty typical of what we've seen from Pittsburgh the last few years on offense, but that defense is dynamic per the usual. It took all of, I don't know, the first 4 minutes before TJ Watt was in the backfield with a tackle for a loss. So we'll talk about Steelers Falcons coming up in 20 here on After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We are moments away from posting our poll, which will ask you to select your Monday MVP. And yes, Baker Mayfield, as the only quarterback with four touchdown passes, he will be in that poll. I know Josh Allen also had a huge game with four touchdowns total, right? Two through the air and two on the ground. But he had a fumble too, so maybe he'll wait. I'm joking. Josh Allen will certainly be in our Monday MVP poll many times. And this is really more of a conversation starter. You are allowed to reply with your own Monday MVP. So we have to select four out of hundreds of players every NFL Sunday. All right. So argue if you must. At Amy After Hours is where you can find our polls, as well as various highlights that we want to share. The Rams-Lions game on Sunday night featured an incredible toe-drag sideline catch from one Cooper Kupp. It was terrific. You could watch that highlight all day long. So we want to make sure that we give you plenty of entertainment value with our show account. So at Amy After Hours, you can find photos from my trip to Dallas, because I ended up at the Star, the Cowboys headquarters, Jerry sparing no expense, so I had to take some photos while I was there. Those are on my account at A-Law Radio, and then Facebook as well, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We still have a bunch of games to get to, and a bunch of really cool firsts in the NFL. We talked about Jaden Daniels, his first two rushing touchdowns, even in the loss for the Commanders. And coming up, we'll get to Caleb Williams, his debut as a Bear. But how about the coaches who were on the field either for the first time, or in the case of Jim Harbaugh, for the first time in a long time in the NFL? Yeah, this was an AFC West battle. Remember, the Chiefs won on Thursday night. And let's be fair, everyone in the AFC West is chasing the Kansas City Chiefs and has been for years. So the Raiders and Chargers playing at SoFi Stadium, and this is actually the game in which we had Jim Nance, Tony Romo, and Tracy Wolfson. So back and forth I went between these two games. You had Tom Brady as the number one analyst for Fox, and then you had Tony Romo, who is still the number one analyst for CBS. It was kind of interesting to contrast their styles as I was going back and forth between these two games. So this is the Raiders with Antonio Pierce and Gardner Minshew. And his first touchdown as a Raider goes to Alexander Mattison. It was a 31-yard catch and run. And Minshew, he plays all gas, no brakes, and is able to get that score right away. But the issue that plagued the Raiders in this one is a pair of fumbles. So after they had that initial touchdown, they're scoreless well into the second half. Meanwhile, the Chargers can only manage field goals. And keeping in mind with Los Angeles, yes, Justin Herbert, and yes, Jim Harbaugh, who is a quarterback himself in the NFL, and everywhere he goes, he's able to increase the win totals. This is what he does. He builds culture. He gets guys on the same page. He obviously has the X's and O's, and he brings in the right people. But guys love to play for him, and he's quirky. He hears angels singing when Justin Herbert returns to practice. Anyway, their offense was a little spotty, but I think part of the reason has to be that all of the people around Justin Herbert are different. Think about the turnover he's had with both his running back room as well as his receivers. Keenan Allen somewhere else, Austin Eckler somewhere else, Mike Williams is somewhere else. I mean, he's having to adjust the way that Patrick Mahomes did last season. So that's got to be a factor in the equation. Of course, they do want to run the ball, but it is Herbert with a 27-yard strike to Hayden Hurst that sparks the offense in the third quarter. And J.K. Dobbins, who is at least one name, I won't spoil it, that we have thrown out there for Monday MVP, he also is able to pick up and run with it.
Pistol formation, J.K. Dobbins behind Herbert. Showing blitz, hand off to J.K., he's through the line, breaks a tackle into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers! J.K. Dobbins from 12 yards out.
That's Matt Smith on Chargers radio. And yeah, Dobbins not only had the score, but on the next possession, he has a 61-yard scamper. It was really impressive to see. Takes the handoff and boom, goes 60 yards. So again, it's a couple of chunk plays that sparked the Chargers offense. That 61-yard run sets up the second touchdown. This one from Herbert through the air to rookie Ladd McConkey. And if you're watching this game, this was in the fourth quarter, McConkey actually has to do a couple of jukes and sidesteps a couple of defenders who kind of reach to grab him around the waist, and he backs up and then sidesteps and goes around. So yeah, it was a whoop, whoop, couple of dance moves to get into the end zone. And that was the first touchdown through the air for Herbert this season with what is a rookie and someone new on his roster. But the Chargers really did rely on the rush. They had over 170 yards on the ground, and the defense too, able to limit what the Raiders saw after that first touchdown drive with Minshew. Really not a whole lot from that point forward. And yeah, Jim Harbaugh thrilled with what he saw from his D.
It was a great performance, inspiring performance. The run wall, I mean, right from the beginning, you know, the third and one, then fourth and a yard and a quarter maybe, you know, and then to stop that was huge. You know, the turnovers, you know, real incredible.
You look at, we had two explosive runs, got a holding. Got another explosive run with fumbling the ball. It seemed like right when we got midfield, there was like this, it was like something that was going on. It just either pushed us back and we couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, so the Antonio Pierce era has begun. And I do think that you're going to see that toughness come through. They like playing for Antonio Pierce. Gardner Minshew brings energy and certainly is a veteran guy. They do have talent on the Raiders. It's week number one, and it's spotty. If it makes the Raiders feel any better, the Bengals were worse. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good to have you with us. We had a chance to talk with Dan Miller after the Lions win. So Dan Campbell and Detroit getting an overtime victory on Sunday Night Football. That's big for them as they start out. And then we're going through some of the rookie quarterbacks and their debuts just before the break. Looking at what we saw from Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury, the new coaching tandem there for the rookie QB, though the Commanders have a loss initially. But yeah, rookie quarterbacks, this is a big deal. We'll talk about Bo Nix of the Broncos momentarily in the same AFC West. Jim Harbaugh is back. Remember, he was with the San Francisco 49ers. He goes to Michigan, what was it, 7-8 seasons with the Maize and Blue. He ends up finally winning a national championship there at Michigan, but always wanted to get back to the NFL where he felt real comfortable. And yeah, week one, win one.
They're hard to get. These are hard to get. I mean, everybody in that locker room knows it, as do I, that it is really hard to win a game in the NFL.
All we're doing is our best. And to have a guy leading the charge like that and a locker room that buys in and follows him, it's a special day for him as well to get his first win.
Justin Herbert, 17 of 26 for 144 yards and a score. And as I mentioned earlier, if you missed it, the passing numbers, they averaged below 175. So the average passing attack on Sunday had 175 yards. That was it. So not a lot of the high flying, high octane, high powered offenses really. Points were down too, but also offenses as a whole were averaging under 300 yards in this first weekend. You would expect that to improve. You expect there to be better offense moving forward, but this is what week one is about. It's what the first month is about, especially when you have young quarterbacks. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So the Chargers get their first win. They are right there with the Chiefs at 1-0. The Raiders fall to 0-1. What about the Denver Broncos? They've got Bo Nix as their starter on the road at Lumen Field in Seattle, which is kind of interesting because didn't we have Broncos Seahawks start off 2 years ago as well when Russell Wilson had gotten traded from Seattle to Denver and the NFL schedule makers, they put Broncos and Seahawks in week number one. So it was happening again. Sean Payton and Bo Nix, of course, headlines for the Denver Broncos. But for the Seahawks, trying to get back into the playoffs, they've got a brand new coach in Mike McDonald. He's the youngest coach in the NFL, and he had Marshawn Lynch, who might actually be the same age as him. He had Marshawn Lynch on the sidelines giving him a shoulder rub. Can you imagine? What if, here's a good analogy. What if Gerard Mayo, who is actually teammates with Tom Brady, what if Gerard Mayo gets a shoulder rub from a Tom Brady or a Rob Gronkowski in the middle of a game? But there was Marshawn Lynch, headset and all, walking right up to Mike McDonald and giving him a shoulder rub on the sidelines. So yeah, McDonald getting his feet wet. And this is a stark change from the Pete Carroll era. They go the complete opposite direction, and it begins with a win. Now, Geno Smith, still the quarterback, a holdover from the end of Pete Carroll. Geno ends up with an interception on the very first drive, but then settles in.
DK wide to the left side. Here comes the blitz. Geno steps up, has running room. 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown! Seahawks! Geno Smith right up the gut! 34 yards. He said, if they're going to take everybody away, I'm going to take it myself. And he does.
Steve Rabel on Seahawks radio, a 34-yard touchdown run for Geno. He follows it up later with a 30-yard touchdown throw. And so once the Seahawks find that rhythm, they're golden. Kenneth Walker, he's really their bell cow now, 100 yards plus on the ground. Seattle also has three takeaways, two of those interceptions off of Bo Nix, also a couple of sacks of the rookie QB. So even though Denver had the early lead on, get this, a pair of Seahawks safeties. I'm not sure I've ever seen two safeties in the first half of a game. But yeah, Denver had a field goal and two safeties off of the Seahawks, and that's how they had the lead at halftime. As for Mike McDonald, good to be able to get one in the win column.
Yeah, I'm also going to clean all that stuff up in the first half. But I'll tell you what, I mean, just being on the sideline, being with our crew, the guys were poised. Nobody batted an eye. Knew what we needed to do to win the game. Stuck to the plan, made some adjustments, and just kept playing.
So good for him. Congratulations. But yeah, very different from what we had with Pete Carroll. As for Nix, 26 of 42, 138 yards, excuse me, a couple picks and a couple sacks. And yeah, it's a learning experience, of course. And against that Seahawks defense, they were up for the challenge. these rookie quarterbacks, even though they come in with such high expectations and so much pressure, most former QBs will tell me it takes you a good 2-3 seasons before you're acclimated to the speed as well as able to read the defenses adequately. And so it'll take a while. It's just, as fans, we're not super patient.
You only get it once, and game went back and forth. And so, you know, overall, got to continue to find ways to be efficient and get first downs. It was a challenge for sure, to say the least. I thought they were a really good defense. I thought they played well in their scheme. I thought they, rallied to the football.
So Bo Nix facing a Seattle defense. And, yeah, you only get the one time in which it's your first time. But theoretically, that's not the best it's going to be. It should get better. And Caleb Williams, he can attest to that. So let's get him in here, too, before the break. Titans in Chicago as Williams makes his debut at home in front of those fans, the overall number one pick. He's considered the future and the present for the Chicago Bears. This is the guy they wanted from the very beginning. And yeah, it was a mixed bag. He was under 100 yards. He got sacked a couple times. He took off on foot a couple of times. Really, the offense, it's got to come together. And it's different when you're facing a live defense that doesn't know your plays. So yeah, there are a half dozen punts for the Bears and only 158 total yards early on. The difference is that they had both special teams and defense who were picking up the slack, if you will. A disruptive defense. I was really impressed by what I saw from the D, but it started, that turning point started with a play on special teams.
The punt, Stonehouse, back deep to our left, DeAndre Carter.
Oh, pressure blocked
on the ground, picked up to the 10, to the 5. To the end zone for the touchdown on the block punt by the Bears. Jonathan Owens, welcome to Chicago. Touchdown on the scoop and score. And the Bears get much needed points. Bears stack the line of scrimmage. Are they blitzing? They are. Gordon coming to. Levis swallowed up, gets rid of it at the last second, and it is intercepted. Down the sidelines to the 20, to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone. Tyreek Stevenson for the lead in the fourth quarter. Will Levis under? He just flipped it in the air. The easiest pick six you're going to find for Tyreek Stevenson.
No doubt, Jeff Joniak and company on Bears Radio. That Levis interception, brutal. He's about to get dragged down. I don't know if the ball was in his left hand or not. He just kind of chucks it out there. I think it didn't even look like a pass. It was more like just a heave. I'm going to get rid of it like a hot potato. He was already on his way down, as I say. It was just an off-balance, ugly heave. And it gets returned 43 yards by Stevenson for a touchdown that was really the exclamation point. But I also appreciate the special teams getting into the action. The punt block by Daniel Hardy that gets recovered by Mr. Simone Biles. Jonathan Owens, his first game with the Chicago Bears. So I suppose missing time in the preseason while he was in Paris to root on his wife didn't hurt him that badly. But he is able to scoop up a loose ball and take it 21 yards into the end zone. So those two plays are the reason why the Bears won. And I saw Caleb Williams, like many of you did, cheering on the sideline. He's fired up because a win is a win, is a win, is a win. They have to rally past the Titans and Will Levis, who started out real well in this one, but they're able to get that victory after the adjustments in the second half. And yeah, for Caleb Williams, 14 of 29, under 100 yards, got his first taste of life in the NFL.
Felt like I was in the right place, the right time, and I would say I was seeing it well. Just missed and misfired and placing the ball where I wanted to. You complete a few of those. Dre down the sideline on the left sideline. They end up going cover zero. You know, end up missing him on a different page and things like that. So I think that was the name of the game for today for the offense. It's just not been the same page passing wise, and then run game. We'll be better.
I thought the operation was good. I know we had one delay. But again, he's got to keep getting better every single week. And we just need to keep doing that as he grows and develops, because he is a talent. He's smart as a whip and knows the offense, and we just got to keep playing well around him as he grows and reinvests and improves. And he's going to learn a lot these first three or four games in terms of the NFL looks, the NFL speed.
It's trial by fire. And so Matt Eberflus makes a great point. He's going to get better. This is about on-the-job training. And with Caleb Williams, they feel like he's smart enough and he is able to handle enough of what he sees that he won't get killed, right? The offensive line's got to do some work as well, but they feel like he's mature enough that they're not putting him in danger or stunting his development potentially if things don't go well early on. And you hear from him how mature he is. He is able to analyze his own mistakes, and they'll watch the tape and they'll continue to get better. Everything that people say about him in Chicago, his teammates, how smart he is, how professional he is, how willing he is to do the work, and that he puts his head down and he shows up and he does what's asked of him. And those are all qualities that are necessary in a leader and in a quarterback. And so they believe that he has all the potential in the world and look forward to seeing that develop. So three rookie quarterbacks, they have a mixed bag when it comes to their debuts, but at least the first games are behind them, right? So that's good. You don't have to start over again. You're in, man. Just let's go. Welcome to the NFL. At A-Law Radio, our Monday MVP poll going up at Amy After Hours, also on our Facebook page. And coming up, it was not Russell Wilson. It was Justin Fields finding out before the game started in Atlanta that he would be QB1 for Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. So we'll get to Pittsburgh and Kirk Cousins' debut with Atlanta straight ahead. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
It was a difficult decision, but not difficult in a negative way, to be quite honest with you. It was difficult in a positive way. The decision was difficult because of what they're capable of doing. Decision was difficult because of how they have conducted themselves, as opposed to the things that they fall short in terms of capabilities or negative conduct. Both guys have been really professional.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The voice of Mike Tomlin, when he announced the decision a few days before the regular season kicked off, that he would go with Russell Wilson as QB1 over Justin Fields. And he went on to say that he would be comfortable with either one of them.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you. So listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Them starting that if Russ couldn't go, now at the time they didn't know the calf issue would be flaring up, but if Russ couldn't go, they would be okay with Justin and would be comfortable subbing him out there, even if it meant little notice, or if he had to come in for Russell Wilson at some point during this first week. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Fields found out not long before kickoff in Atlanta that Russ couldn't go because of the calf injury.
I always just have the mentality to be ready. I've been in this situation before in my rookie year, so anything can happen. So I just always have the mindset of, you know, be ready and just be ready for anything. You know, Russ came in after warming up and he told me that I was up. So like we said, kind of all week, you know, he was questionable, was trying to get his calf right and try to get going, but so really right before the game.
So Justin Fields ends up getting the start, and early on, it's a lot of what we saw in the preseason, honestly, where the offense would go up and down the field a little ways, but not get into the red zone and have to settle for field goals. At least the Pittsburgh defense was locked in. Kirk Cousins gets intercepted early. There's also a TJ Watt tackle for a loss with Bijan Robinson in the backfield. So yeah, the defense was in midseason form already. The Falcons do get a Kyle Pitts touchdown, but also have this kind of aborted handoff. One that, well, it got aborted because it hit the guy who was crossing in front of Kirk Cousins. So it hits the man in motion, and it's just a miscommunication between Cousins and his center. So there's a couple of different turnovers that maybe you can chalk up to just getting comfortable with new people in a new situation. Meanwhile, there wasn't still a whole lot coming from the Steelers offense except for Chris Boswell, who very well could have been a Monday MVP candidate. That poll is up at Amy After Hours. I just retweeted it, and we'll get it up on Facebook as well. But you certainly could vote for Chris Boswell if you wanted to do a write-in ballot. So, yeah, we had Boswell with three field goals over 50 yards, including a 57-yarder, and that's where the offense came from. That's where the points came from. But as I say, the defense more than up for a stiff challenge.
Falcons going no huddle. Cousins in the shotgun, gets the snap, back looking, under pressure, throws, intercepted, picked off. It's Dante Jackson crossing the 35, the 30, on his feet, down inside the 20 to the 17-yard line. The pressure got to Cousins on the other end. It's Dante Action Jackson with the interception.
You can't expect any other thing when you go out there and you turn the ball over, you know, three times, and they win a turnover battle like that, and basically, that's the story of the game. And you got to go out there and capitalize when you have a chance. We were not able to do that.
The voice of Raheem Morris, new head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And yeah, three turnovers by the Falcons, including that fourth quarter interception that you hear on Steelers radio. Pittsburgh ends up with 137 rushing yards, which I think is significant. If you remember last year, and Steelers fans, you certainly do, that part of the issue with their struggling offense, their scuffling offense to start last season is they weren't running the ball and couldn't run the ball. And I know they've had some different iterations of that offensive line. They're hoping it settles in. They can find some consistency there. But yeah, as they were changing things, the running game really sputtered. Najee Harris, they were going to him early and often. He had 70 yards rushing in this one, and the Steelers were over 130 rushing yards as a team. So that was huge. Justin goes 17 of 23 for 156 yards. He was also over 50 yards rushing, so you still see the flashes there with his ability to carry the ball and see what's unfolding or the holes that are opening up in front of him. But really, the deal is TJ Watt's a monster, and the Pittsburgh defense is fierce and tough, exactly how Mike Tomlin would want it. Watt recovers a fumble. He also has, I thought this was interesting, what they termed a walk-off sack. I don't know if it was a walk-off because the Steelers were leading, but they did end the game and effectively end the threat of the Falcons with a sack on what was the final offensive snap for Kirk Cousins. So, yes, they win with the defense and with a half dozen field goals.
You kick a field goal, man, in a hostile environment versus a good group, man, you know, you're in danger. And so I'm just really appreciative that we're able to get it done. We got things to work on. But it's really good to work on your ills with a W.
He doesn't say it like anyone else. No one says working on your ills with a W. Only Mike Tomlin. And then he also is appreciative. And that usually comes after a win. So he's appreciative of his kicker, Chris Boswell. And they're going to work on their ills following a W.
Don't blink. If you're a blinker, cut your eyelids off.
18 to 10. 18 to 10 was the score. I know it took years off your life. For those of you who are Falcons fans, we'll get some reaction from Kirk Cousins during the week. There were some positives. He can certainly move the ball. To have Kyle Pitts involved in week number one and to have him score a touchdown, that's a big deal, considering that his tenure with Atlanta has been inconsistent at times. And then we'll get to know what happens with Russ. Tomlin said he was comfortable with either quarterback. Right now, neither one has really had a breakout and separated himself from the other. Justin and Tomlin both said that Russ was very supportive and was working to try to help them win on the sidelines, that they just didn't want to take the risk with his calf issue flaring up. So does he then go back to Russell Wilson if they have... Now, I don't know how quickly he'll be able to go, but if they're not sure of him or they want to bring him along slowly and then Justin Fields plays solid, They get a couple more wins. Again, I don't know how long Russ is out. It didn't sound like it was real serious, but Murray missed a good portion of training camp with the same calf injury. He is old, you know. I'm just kidding. Old in NFL years. It's like old in dog years, right? In the NFL, I think you actually age more than dogs do to standard people years. At A-Law Radio, take our poll for Monday MVP. I'll get it up there on our Facebook page. Now, coming up, we still have a lot to get to. How about the C.J. Stroud, D'Amico, Ryan start to year number two together? And this is actually a game for the Texans on the road at Indianapolis that is exactly where they ended last season. Remember, the Colts and the Texans were doing battle for the AFC South title just last January. Anthony Richardson returning for the Indianapolis Colts, and this was a real good one. So we'll talk about the AFC South straight ahead. We still have Bills, Cardinals, Bengals, Patriots, Giants, Vikings to get to. So yeah, we're going to cram them all in. But if you miss any portion of our Sunday night into Monday morning NFL show, certainly you can grab the podcast, the condensed version. It'll be available not long after our show wraps up in about 90 minutes. Good to have you with us. I hope you enjoyed your weekend. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
I don't fear sudden death.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
This report is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your home and auto. Save when you bundle. Get a quote at progressive.com. Let's begin with Sunday Night Football. The Lions beat the Rams in overtime 26-20. David Montgomery with the game-winning one-yard touchdown run. The Cowboys beat the Browns 33-17. Before the game, the Cowboys and quarterback Dak Prescott agree on a four-year, $240 million contract extension that makes him the highest-paid player in NFL history.
I've told you guys before, I don't necessarily play. I don't play for the money. I think when you focus and you control what you can control, things like that just happen. So, I found out probably an hour, honestly, probably 20 minutes before it was, publicized to everybody else.
The new deal locks him up through the 2028 season. Elsewhere on the week one scoreboard, Bucks over the Commanders 37-20, Seahawks 26, Broncos 20, the Dolphins over the Jaguars 20-17, and Jason Sanders' 52-yard field goal with no time left. Saints over the Panthers 47-10, Vikings 28, Giants 6, Chargers over the Raiders 22-10, Texans 29, Colts 27, Patriots over the Bengals 16-10, Bears 24, Titans 17, the Bills over the Cardinals 34-28, and the Steelers beat the Falcons 18-10 on 6 field goals from Chris Boswell. Baseball, Diamondbacks over the Astros 12-6, Giants 7, Padres 6, Dodgers over the Guardians 4-0. In 11, Braves 4, Blue Jays 3, Reds over the Mets 3-1, White Sox 7, Red Sox 2, Mariners beat the Cardinals 10-4, Tigers 9, A's 1, Rays beat the Orioles 2-0, Cubs 2, Yankees 1, Rangers beat the Angels 7-4, it was the Rockies over the Brewers 4-1, Royals 2, Twins 0, Marlins over the Phillies 10-1, the Pirates beat the Nationals 7-3. U.S. Open men's final, top seed Yannick Sinner wins his first career U.S. Open and second career Grand Slam title. He beat number 12 seed Taylor Fritz 6-3, 6-4, and 7-5. I'm Peter Schwartz.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
It's like a new leaf on life.
Inside the 10, Stroud, shotgun, mix into his left. CJ takes the snap, throws right side, caught, digs, into the end zone. Touchdown, Houston. Stroud to Stephon. The Texans take the lead.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, the Bills probably could have used a little Stephon Diggs in their offense early on Sunday. Instead, he's now a Houston Texan and already making a difference. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Good morning to you. If you're waking up on your Monday, Woo! We are doing our best to get to everything from NFL Sunday. It's kind of impossible, but we are hitting every single game, plus the major storylines as we go through these next hour and 15 minutes. So yes, it was an AFC South battle, the same way that last season ended, Texans at the Colts, and it was the return of Anthony Richardson. And early on, I don't know if you saw this highlight, we might be able to put it up on our show Twix at Amy After Hours, a 60-yard bomb to Alec Pierce through the air. Anthony Richardson showing off the gun. Early on, he looked terrific. And so it was good to see him back on the field after, gosh, just seeing him for a month of his rookie season. And then he got shut down with the shoulder injury. Though C.J. Stroud, he's got a bunch of weapons around him. Stephon Diggs gets that first touchdown. You hear it with Mark Vandermeer on Texans radio. But this is after Nico Collins hauls in a 55-yarder. So Stroud was chucking and ducking. They were up 12-7 at the break. I love early season NFL when some of the scores are, they're just weird. So 12-7 for them at halftime. Kind of like the Broncos leading the Seahawks 10-9 at halftime of their game in Seattle based on a field goal and two safeties or something. Seven. Yeah, it was 7-6 early on. It was weird stuff. Anyway, after C.J. Stroud gets sacked and Indy blocks a punt, well, then you see the Colts kind of push back. And it's Jonathan Taylor who gets into the end zone, needs 5 yards, and it swings back in the other direction. So I love the give and take and the momentum that goes back and forth between the Texans and the Colts in this one. But ultimately, Houston is able to respond with a pair of extended drives. And this is about the ball control. They averaged 7 minutes and 15 seconds on these two drives in the second half. And they really have a great mix of Nico and Tank Dell. He's back. And Stephon Diggs. And how about Joe Mixon, too? Joe goes 30 carries in this one. Remember, he's another new acquisition for them. And actually, he was throwing darts at the Bengals once this game was done. But Mixon has 159 yards on the ground and himself able to punctuate his first game in a new uniform.
Third down and 3 from the Houston 48 I formation. Collins in motion to the right. Mixon the tailback. Stroud digs in. Here's the snap. Here's the toss to Mixon. Running right across the 50, 45. Tackled by Cross at the 41. Checkmate. That'll do it. The Texans will beat the Colts on opening day.
Yeah, Joe Mixon is a big part of why they were able to slam the door and to hold off the Colts. But Diggs has a pair of touchdowns himself. 6 catches for 33 yards. You've got 2 veteran weapons that are joining C.J. Stroud along with the young guys that he had around him that he's kind of grown up with now in this early tenure with D'Amico Ryans. It was good to see Anthony Richardson back on the field, though, even though the Colts don't come up with the win. And one major reason why is because of the ball control for Houston. The Colts were minus 20 minutes in time of possession. How about that? So the Texans held the ball 2-1. Essentially double the amount of time that the Colts had the ball. But for D'Amico Ryans, the ability to put more responsibility and more of the leadership role on C.J. Stroud. Remember, he's a captain for the first time. He goes 234 yards through the air and also has a couple of touchdowns. And yeah, they're looking for big things from him in year number 2.
C.J., I mean, he made a lot of good plays for us. He was pressured a lot, but he still moved around and made plays. Escaped the pocket. The plays on the move were really exciting plays to see.
Love to hear D'Amico Ryans, but there were certainly some moments where on the sidelines he was frustrated too. Because, yeah, this is a good give and take. And I hope it's emblematic of what we get from the AFC South this year. Jaguars end up blowing an early lead against the Dolphins. We'll look at that one again next hour. And so they fall as well as the Colts with the 0-1 start. But you have the Texans fight for this win, which is a big deal for them if they want to retain that AFC South title. They're the only team that ended up winning from their division in week number 1. As for Anthony Richardson, he has another deep shot to Alec Pierce. So that connection was productive. Also has a rushing touchdown. But ultimately, Houston's able to retain the ball and run out the clock. And he's getting his feet wet again.
I want to be better, you know, as a player anyway. So I'm always, you know, criticize myself. But, you know, we just got to, you know, work and just get better.
And for Shane Steichen, he's hoping that he has his second-year QB all the way through the season. And yeah, Richardson looked really good early on, but you can imagine there's still a lot of learning that he wants to do as well. Remember, he was considered a project when he got drafted last year by the Colts, and then they decided after seeing him in preseason and training camp that they definitely wanted him to be their number one guy. But then he was on the sidelines for a good portion of that first season. So, yeah, they're kind of starting fresh together.
I thought he made some big-time plays for us. Obviously, that opening touchdown pass to Alec, I don't think I've seen a throw like that.
Nice. Yeah, if you haven't seen it again, we'll put it up on our show, Twix, but it's brilliant. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. So looking there at the AFC South. But if you're wondering the most prolific team in week number one in terms of offense, well, that would be the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, a lot of questions about Derek Carr and about this year two and Dennis Allen and whether or not this tandem is the right combination for the Saints. Well, early on, and I understand they were playing the Panthers, no holds barred for Derek Carr and the guys around him.
Ball sitting at the 16, pistol formation, heavy to the right. Carr to throw, looking left, now looks to his right, looking in the end zone. Did he get both feet in? Yes! Touchdown, New Orleans! Juwan Johnson, the touchdown machine!
There was plenty of that. Derek Carr, 200 yards through the air, three touchdowns. Alvin Kamara also had a touchdown himself. The team rushed for nearly 200 yards, so think about it. They were pretty darn close to 400 yards of offense and beating up on the Panthers. It was 30-3 at halftime in the Superdome. And New Orleans not only scored on all six of its first half possessions, they scored on the first nine possessions of the game. So the Panthers had no answers in Dave Canales' debut. And this wasn't just about Bryce Young, though he did see merciless pressure. He got sacked four times. He threw a couple of picks. They were 1 of 10 on third down. And remember, Dave Canales left the Buccaneers as their O coordinator and went to take his first head coaching job with Bryce Young and with the Panthers. And it's been three seasons in a row in which Carolina's owner, David Tepper, has fired coaches midseason. And so this is not going to help, but I hope there's a little more patience considering they're starting fresh again. Constant change equals constant losing in sports. The Saints actually called off the dogs. In fact, they called off the Saints. They stopped marching them in. I know I'm an idiot. So the Saints end up winning 47-10. That is actually calling off the dogs. Dennis Allen wanting to maintain an even keel.
We still have a lot of things that we have to get better at. So our focus is going to be on making the corrections that we need to make from this one, improving on those things, and then getting ready for Dallas.
Dallas. Well, that could be fun, considering the number of points up on the board for both the Saints and the Cowboys in week number one. Cowboys hang 33 on the Browns in Cleveland, but that number pales in comparison to the number that Dak Prescott will make in his first season with the new contract extension, which we'll tack on at the end of this one. But yeah, that's one of the week one headlines to grab your attention. Dak's new deal, $240 million over four seasons with the vast majority of it fully guaranteed. We'll get back to Cowboys and Browns. We've got 1 hour to go, but we got to start with Sunday Night Football and overtime in Detroit. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.